Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses the podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And Sean, today's a momentous day. We have our first ever honorary Squid Boy, first honorary Gonbu on the show today. You may know him.
Distinction, not honorary member of the Gonbu gang.
Well, no, we're not part of the Gonbu gang.
That's something else.
They suck.
That's something else.
They're terrible. You may know him as the epitome of Kingdom Hearts content creation on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, he's anything but normal. Regular Pat, welcome.
Oh my gosh, welcome to the show. Guys. Yeah, thank you so much. So glad to be an honorary member. I'm like the extra tentacle on the squid that nobody expected. You know, I'm like the bonus tentacle of the squid.
Wait. How do you think squids work, Pat? Do you think they have bonus tentacles?
I think, it's like when you get french fries and there's like a bonus onion ring in there. Okay. Like nobody expected this squid to have so many tentacles.
Like Nemo with his little fin.
Yeah, but it's a little flipper.
You're just the tiny little tentacle.
Yeah, I mean, I guess squids have at least six, so there was two and now there's three. So like really the metaphor died before it was born.
Yeah, we're just a regular plate of calamari over here. Welcome.
Thank you so
excited
much
to have
for
you on
me.
While people may know you from your Kingdom Hearts exploits, what they don't know is you are a survivor / reality show contest type game aficionado. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, correct. I have watched every season of American Survivor. That's 44 and a half now. Every season of American Big Brother, some Canadian seasons, the celebrity ones. So like I am knee deep in the social strategy reality TV gauntlet. So once I heard there was a Squid Game show, which it's so funny to me when people call the original the real Squid Game, which is not real.
Yeah, like, it's not at all real.
That's the fake one. This is the real one.
The show where people die. And it's like,
And what's funny is this came into my knowledge because Figgy was a Survivor player. I don't know if you guys knew that she was on.
Okay, so no, yeah, I didn't know
season
that.
33 she was on. And her number was 33, which I don't know if that was planned or not, but she was on the 33rd season of Survivor, which was a great season. It was about like 6-7 years ago. She wasn't like particularly a standout. She finished like pretty middle of the road, but I follow a lot of Survivor players on Twitter and I kept seeing that like, oh, Figgy's in like this new Squid Game show. And I loved the original show. I watched it back when it came out. So I was just like pulled right in. So I binged the first five episodes like the day after Thanksgiving, and I found out that you guys were doing a pod about it. So and I asked them, I want to be on it before I even listened to the podcast. So
he said, I want to be on the Squid Game Challenge podcast, and he hadn't even listened yet. But now you're caught up, right?
Then you listen to it, you're like, oh,
he
said, actually, can I get out of this?
I was really happy with it.
You listened?
I was actually pissed that it was so short. I wanted it to be longer.
You
I was
listened, like, and they, you they still came like... on, so that's
exactly.
The
it's a ringing endorsement.
I do have to ask, because you said that, you know, Figgy was kind of middle of the road on the Survivor season. Was she as much of a sociopath on that show, or is just for
yeah,
this.
From what I remember, she was kind of blinded by like a showmance situation. Oh. So her game kind of crumbled because she was like involved with a guy. So at least she course corrected on that, although she ended up dying pretty unceremoniously in the battleship.
Yeah, yeah. I think
warship.
I think her and Trey there was probably a showmance happening there if she hadn't gotten eliminated.
Yeah.
It felt like they were trying to build it a little bit until
to break our hearts.
Demise.
Right.
So What do you think so far of the show? Well, I should also note for the listeners, I am the only person here that knows how to follow the rules. The only rule is to agree. Pat, you've seen the first five episodes.
I have, yeah.
Okay, so
I have also seen the first five episodes, but not any farther.
Yeah, but
we're recording this on the day the new episodes came out, and me and Pat showed a lot of restraint not watching the next one.
Oh, Mike, I'm really proud of you for doing the bare minimum, Mike. Thank you very much. You didn't watch the episode.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Pat, what do you think of the five episodes you've seen? Are you enjoying the show?
I really am. I went into it with low expectations. And I think I've had this like a similar experience that you guys have had, in that I think a lot of people are kind of dogging on the show on social media and the critics hate it. And I think Mike said an episode or two ago that the critics are usually pretty harsh on reality TV. Like, it's not going to be, you know, a ratings, you know, like a critical darling. But ratings wise, it is, because as I think, again, one of you said, it's like the top show on Netflix right now. Yeah, I mean, the production is insane. Like, it's just nuts. Like, I legitimately find myself forgetting that it's not, like, they're not going to die. Like, it's, it feels so palpably real.
The contestants do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they
which
are,
I think the elements of it all, like, being in, like, a cold airport hangar for 7 hours of red light, green light, and, like, being fed shitty food, like, I think it, like, it gets to you. And there's just so much pressure on these folks. So, and I have to say, and it was, you know, the third episode of the Warships episode, yeah. I think Mike said that was like, he liked that one more than episode four. I'm like the opposite. Like, I thought Warships was so boring.
Oh.
I hated, like, I thought, and like, I agreed with the set design being really cool and like the concept of like the switcheroo that it wasn't tug of war. But I was like, kind of like, you know, jacking the speed up to like 2.0 to get through it.
Okay. All right.
But I will say, for the people who say that the show is like, you know, semi-scripted or rigged, and I'm sure the producers put their thumb on the scale every now and then, but like, I don't think they would let Brighton go out that unceremoniously in Warship. Like, they're not going to burn one of their biggest characters and like the antagonist of the first arc on Warship, where he has like, and maybe it's karmic that like he had no say in it. Like, he was such a control freak. Like, he like compared himself to Jesus, the ultimate competitor.
The ultimate competitor, Jesus, yeah.
And famously, Jesus was sunk by Judas in the Warship.
Yeah.
So I guess that was the famous sort of.
Maybe it is scripted.
Corollary.
Maybe.
You could be right.
This is actually in the same way that Lord of the Rings is an allegory for the Bible. So is Squid Game.
So is Squid Game.
It's based on the Bible. What I was going to say is, like, you know, they could have chosen not to highlight Brighton, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But I think that's one of the cool things about this show, is that they're highlighting people and you expect them to go a long way, and then they're cutting off their legs, right? Not literally.
Yeah.
And just case some of the people on the internet. I don't want you to think people are actually dying here. But I think that's really cool about it. That's what's really, really awesome, is they're, you know, because they're not highlighting everybody, right? And maybe some of the people were pretty uninteresting. But they could have been like, oh, man, Brighton gets out in the second game or third game or whatever, and we probably shouldn't highlight him. And they made the choice to do that. And they kind of tipped their hand to us on that in the first episode when the first woman they showed.
Yeah.
Like, I have a dream, right? And everybody's dreaming. Yep. And she's the first to go out. So I really enjoy that about the show, that they're not scared highlight people that are going to get out early and often.
She was singing that Tangled song in the interview room. And
when will my life begin?
No, the I Have a Dream.
I missed it.
What?
Well, you know, like, her life ended very shortly after, so I thought you were setting that up. That is a Tangled song, right?
Yeah, but I'm...
All right, well...
Listen, I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay, anyway,
Pat,
we should...
I want to...
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
I want to... Yeah.
You're the host. I just work here.
I'd like to ask you some questions that that we've asked everybody each episode here, and then that can transition into the answers that we got from the last episode.
Sure.
Where so our first question that we asked people for episode one was, if you were one of the four people at the end who had to pick the shape for the cookie challenge, what is your strategy? What argument would you make to get the other players to agree, and are you willing to take the umbrella?
God, here's the thing. Like, I would like to think I would be principled enough to, like, go down with the ship, like, the first two batch of idiots and get killed. But I think in the heat of the moment, I would, like, at the last second, I would settle on umbrella, but I would try my damnedest to at least get Star. I think the move is to go for, like, the second to third best one. Like, don't go for... I think triangle is the easiest.
I agree. Yep. I've been saying this.
A true believer.
They're like, oh, the circle's the easiest. It is not. The triangle has edges that you can break off.
Yeah, the edges are huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think even the star is doable. So, like, honestly, I think the move might be to go for star. Maybe not, like, because everyone's watching, and that's the wrinkle there. If it was private, I think you could kind of have more wiggle room with that. But I think the fact that, like, you're going to have to contend with everybody who survives the cookie, you don't want to appear like you folded immediately. So, like, maybe try to, like, put up the facade that you're fighting for triangle, but maybe settle on circle or star. I would definitely not turn to the camera and be like, I don't know how to say this non-sexually, but spit on my cookie or whatever the fuck Spencer said, because that did not work out.
You wouldn't
that
say
was
that?
Not the strat. I would not.
Would
no,
you,
I don't think that's really the path.
Would you look at the camera right before a challenge is about to begin and be like, I'm fucking full of ink and ready to go?
That's, yeah, for those listening, that's how I opened up the call here. They were like, are you ready to go? I'm like, yeah, I'm full of ink and I'm ready to talk squid.
Let's squid it up.
And Mike hates it.
I also makes you uncomfortable thinking about your ink.
No, that's fair. That's entirely fair. I don't want to think about you that way.
I also think it's interesting that you describe it as like being principled enough to take out the rest of it. Because in my mind, I'm petty enough to take out the rest of it.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of, that's the other side of the coin. Yeah.
Moving on to the second episode, we had two questions. The first question, so if you're in this crowd of people and you see another player get this big plate of fast food, are you going to act like an animal and just fucking go for it?
No, like, I think under no circumstances am I, because, like, at the risk of making enemies, no, but also, like, I don't have that in me. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not type A like that, so the fries will remain out of my reach, unfortunately.
And I think the more relevant question, so if you're on the phone at the end of the episode, what's your play to try and get somebody else onto the phone so they'll be eliminated? You've listened, so you already know. Surprising amount of people are willing to go after their friends in this situation.
Right. I mean, I think so. The way that he did it was the worst possible way.
Yeah, terrible.
You know, no poker face whatsoever. I think you got to say like, oh, they told me I already got a reward, so it has to be somebody else. Or you say, hey, it needs to be somebody with a four in their number, or like somebody who's an odd number, or like anything that's like slightly specific, so that you're casting a broad enough net, so it doesn't seem like you're like outwardly targeting somebody. Because like saying to Brighton, like trying to get him to get it, like that's so obvious, like that's so transparent. So like I think you have to kind of settle for anyone but me at that point. Like you can't be greedy and try to like specifically get somebody.
Well,
so,
and
anything besides chocolate muffin.
I know I've said my piece on this already, but like once he had that interaction with Brighton where he was like, Brighton was mad at him, it's off. Like, you can't pick him.
Yeah.
I know you want that guy to go out,
it's
but
over.
It's like, it's done. You can't do it. Like, he's going to suspect that you're trying to get him out.
Yeah. And I have to say on Brighton while I'm thinking of it, you can't even be that upset or sad about him going out in warships because there's like no way he's going to make it through. Like people voting.
Oh, he
no
would have lost in episode four.
Right.
For
so
sure.
It's like, you can't even be that upset that like, you know, it was foretold from the beginning.
Oh, foretold. And I guess this wasn't actually part of the question, but with some of the answers that we've gotten, I do want to know, would you be willing to go after one of your friends for it, or are you going to try not to?
I mean, not this early in the game. Like, I think people like massively undersell the value of like having a Leanne to your tray.
Okay.
You know, like anybody at all that you have some sort of bond with, is such a valuable asset. To burn that so easily and so early is foolish. I think like once you get down to like, you know, the 20s or, you know, like the 10s, I think that's okay. But I think you gotta, you know, maintain connections and relationships this early on.
Agreed.
See Mike, see Tyler.
No, I agree.
See guys.
My argument was that none of
monsters.
These people are actually my friends. You know, like that was my
fair.
Argument.
That's fair.
Unless
that's
I went fair. In with my mom or something, but even then I might vote her ass off too, so.
Right.
And I guess the last question from last episode, which will kind of lead us into the responses and this one. At this stage of the competition, so the no spoilers for future episodes, Pat, who would you vote to eliminate in this test and why? If you look at the Squid Game, the challenge in the Bros Discord, I did post a picture of the board of who was remaining.
Oh, yeah.
So
I have the website. They have like the whole
okay,
is it the
okay,
same thing with
go.
The okay. God. So who's even on the table? This is we're talking about the task where you're where they have to take out the top three, right?
Yeah. So at the end of episode three, who would you vote for?
Yeah, I think you gotta get Joker Lorenzo up there. but like it depends on how privy you are to like his tendencies. I think that
here's
be
the
pick.
Thing about
I mean,
Lorenzo though, Pat, is no one knows what he wore in his talking head,
right,
so they don't
the
know
so, like,
that he's
I'm,
the Joker.
Yeah, I'm speaking from like a place of like omniscience,
right.
So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
tough.
Yeah. Joker. I'm so happy that's like on. And also, spoilers for this episode as we're going to be talking about it. So sad that he's gone.
Yeah, that's a massive blow.
Yeah, okay, let's get into... I've been talking a lot. Mike, do you want to read the email that we
got? Yes, we got an email. I would love to read an email. This is from Kim, who emailed us, I believe, last episode as well.
Yes.
And she says, "Hello again, Squid Boys. Kim again, and also my son as well. You can call us 302 Ooh. And 301, oh. LOL.
Okay.
We didn't discover Squid Game until late last year and found your podcast, also too late to respond, and really enjoyed it.
Oh.
We also learned about the challenge from you guys and have been anxiously waiting for the show and your take on it. So glad to be able to participate this time. To answer the episode 3 question of who to eliminate and why, my son has a strategy that if you want to elect a new person, make sure it's someone who has already voted so they can't turn around and elect you."
Oh.
Yeah, that was huge. I had that in my notes. It's all about line placement.
Yep. Oh, that's
or
smart.
Or vote for someone at the end of the line, so if they don't put you up in their turn, there's not enough contestants left to vote you out.
Mm.
I added the caveat that you will also make sure it's not someone with strong alliances that are in a better position to avenge their mate. I wasn't able to get episode 2 answered in time, but neither of us would shark the food off of the tray, but would absolutely accept some if 198 offered. To get someone to answer the phone, 198 should have said because he already accepted a prize, he couldn't be the one to answer again, and someone else needs to pick it up. Off to binge the new episodes. Thank you, Kim, and son, whose name we don't know.
Yes.
301 and 302 of our little squid podcast here. We appreciate you guys. If you want to be like Kim, you can email us at Squidboys with a Z, SPQ at gmail.com. That will be in the description as well. And you can also join the Discord where Sean, I believe, has an answer or two for our episode 3 in the Discord.
Yeah, I have an answer from Tyler, who, you
Boo.
Know.
No, I'm just kidding.
Boo. Maybe, possibly, you might be hearing his voice at some point in the future. I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out. But Tyler's just said, "I would definitely get rid of one or both of the mother-son combo. Their odds as a
ruthless
team are too good." And I don't know about that. I know.
I think he's onto something.
I think so?
If you can identify any sort of pairing, like, you got to break that up before it consolidates later on in the game. So I don't hate that. I think you get rid of Trey, obviously. I think he's going to end up being the more capable player out of the two.
I think Leanne might be more capable than Trey.
Oh, absolutely. I think Leanne is more capable.
I just get the feeling that she would, like, take the fall for him at some point, or, like,
I think so.
She would want him to go on. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think she'd be like, "You'll get some of the money anyways."
Right.
That's true.
I think she'd be like, "Goodbye, son," without a second guess.
Yeah.
She'd just do it. She'd just be done.
Well, there was one earlier where, like, I mean, I think it was even in the first episode where he was like, "Man, could you really do something to somebody like this early in the game?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, easily, in a heartbeat."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. She has some of the best sound bites. I have multiple notes.
Oh, I cannot wait to get to when they're in line and the voting goes down, because it's such a good moment.
I have multiple notes that just say Leanne after it at the end. The things she said.
Yeah.
She's super funny.
She's
maybe one of my favorite contestants at this point. Anyway, was there any more answers or was that it?
That was it. Okay. It was just Tyler. I had said at the end of the last episode, I thought people were going to go for either TJ, Brad, or B. I was totally wrong. Completely.
To be fair, you brought up Lorenzo,
totally,
but you thought people weren't aware of his Joker status.
Right.
Which they weren't, but he lets it be known himself in this episode, as we'll see. With a silly move on his part. So let's, I guess, dive into the episode, fellas. Episode 4. We start off, and it's, you know, they announced in the last episode that, hey, you guys are going to have to vote 3 people off. And they're giving them 30 minutes to discuss. And as the 30 minutes gets on the timer, you just hear Leanne go, "Oh, Jesus." Just made me laugh.
We
get a group discussion here, and,
well,
circle time.
I think it's so funny. Somebody goes, "Is there anybody that wants to go?"
Yeah.
I wrote down manbun418 asked if anyone wants to just die now after surviving like a 7-hour red light, green light, and all the other shit they've been through. You know, just die right now, I guess.
We get, apparently there is a big enough idiot. We'll talk about him in a minute.
But
we get the doc.
Yeah.
The doc is rubbing people the wrong way. Okay.
Dr. V, cult leader 330, I call him.
I feel kind of bad. I guess he is a bit of a cult leader. I don't know. I feel like I watch him and I feel like he's trying to interject fairness into this brutal competition.
Right.
Yeah. And nobody
he's
is
trying
having
to be positive,
it.
And that rubs people the wrong way.
He's like,
yeah, I said he Dr. V emerges. Everyone hates his plan and him.
Yeah,
he tries
literally.
Suggesting what to do in the event of a tie, and they still hate him so
well,
much.
He's like, we should play a game, and then whoever like the three people that lose the game would be out, and everybody's like, no, boo,
no, fuck yeah,
like, I like
games.
The chaos of their game. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe Lorenzo and Leanne have more in common than we thought, because that's like straight up a Joker quote as well.
It might be. Maybe that's why Leanne does what she does later on. Maybe it's more about there can only be one. Yeah. Well, it's like I we'll go on, but like I think this was their mistake. I think the amount that they turned on the doctor in this episode is going to be a mistake for them going forward, because he seems just like a kind of nice guy.
Well, he was like helping people do like breathing exercises and yoga stretches, and he just seems like he wants to help people. And
he's like, "What if we acted humanely and with compassion?" And they were like, "Shut the fuck up!
We hate you, Dr. V."
They're literally like, boo, you suck, Doc. Yeah. And everybody's like,
and Mike's not exaggerating. Like, I feel like people literally booed
from
the dorm beds.
They did. We meet you referenced 418, the man buns guy says that. But we also we've met Chaney before, but this is the first time she's really spotlighted. Mm. And I gotta tell you guys, I absolutely hate Chaney. I think she's maybe the worst person on the show.
I don't know about the worst.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
She's
Lorenzo's
gotta be,
here or was.
Yeah,
here.
She's got to be creepy. Maybe by the end of this episode, she is. Yeah. But
and we'll talk about
I
it more. But
that,
I hate her.
Yeah,
she's the worst to me.
She has a quote where she says, "There's no room for arrogance in the game." And then a couple minutes later, she gets a talking head where she goes, "Not only am I really beautiful, I'm also hella intelligent."
She just. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we get to when she votes, because that's when she really pisses me off the most. But she wants to get the doctor out. The group kind of breaks up, and we get an awesome quote from Rick, where they're talking about the Ganbu gang is talking about who they're going to vote for, and Rick just goes, "I do not associate with doctors."
It's so weird. It's so weird because he says he's like, doctors are bad news. I do have a few doctor friends, but I do not associate with doctors.
Like, he's a doctor himself.
Right. So it's like, what is
he's
it?
He's a
Rick?
Retired doctor. He's like, I do not associate with doctors. And you're like, whoa, Rick. Easy.
It feels really like charged, like in a weird way.
Yeah.
He also says alliance. I don't know why, like a lot. I don't know why I noticed it, but when he was talking to them, he's like, you know, in the alliance, we just got to make sure that we're voting alongside with the alliance, because the alliance is really the most important thing in this game when you have an alliance. And I was like,
Johnny,
okay.
69 years old. Cut him some slack, all right?
he's fucking...
He bring a thesaurus.
He got hard stuck, dude. He was just fucking rebooting over and over again. Alliance.
he might be a robot. He might actually be rebooting.
Robot Rick.
We also get our first load of 374, who is maybe the biggest idiot on the show.
Oh god, like I get it to a degree, like, but not in a game like this, not during this round. Like, the idea of projecting weakness so you can like slink on by and like get through a round, like, it might make sense earlier or later in the game or in a different game like Survivor, but like when people are looking for a guilt-free way to get rid of somebody and not feel like a scumbag, you cannot make a peep about not, like, your heart not being 100% in it. Like, you have to commit.
I actually I have a theory on this, Sean, where that this is editing. Mm. There's no way that this game was brought to them and he was stupid enough to go around saying, "I'd like to go home. I'm pretty tired." I think this happened before they announced the vote, because there's no way he's this stupid.
I could see that, but I think he might just be that stupid. I don't know. I don't know. I guess it is extremely stupid, like, especially after you just saw the doctor get thrown to the sharks for like that. Yeah. Like, why would you then, you know, put yourself in the water with them?
And especially with 418 man bun guy, when he's like, "Hey, anybody want to volunteer?" And no one does. And then he's like, "Yeah, I just, you know, I'm just tired. I just want to go home." Like, it just makes zero sense. Like, it's, If that didn't happen before they announced what the voting, he is the dumbest contestant of all time in any game ever.
Here's the thing. I just saw a clip today on Twitter of two people on Love Island, okay?
Okay.
And one of them was like, "My name is Liberty." And then they had a 5-minute conversation about what Liberty means. and neither of them could come to like a conclusion on it together. So
Sean. He is the dumbest contestant in reality show history.
I'm just saying. I'm using that more to say. I believe that he might be that dumb to do that.
I get it.
After having seen it's that possible. Clip, I will never underestimate the fathoms of stupidity that can occur on these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
So anyway, moving on in the show, we meet Mai and Chad, who it's the first time we meet them, and they just seem to have a nice relationship. They seem like really good friends, you know?
Yeah, it's oddly wholesome in this game. Yeah.
Mai's old. Like, when you first see Mai here, I was like, and then we see Mai later in the next episode, and this isn't a spoiler, she's older than I thought she was.
Okay. Yeah, she's 55, right. According
to her. She's like near retirement age, where I thought she was like maybe in her 40s when you first see her, but I was a little confused by that, but she's definitely older than you think. Chaney's like posturing with her alliance, but she doesn't want to say the doc should go because she's a coward. Mm.
Yeah.
And then somebody goes, I think the doc, and she goes, oh, and like high fives him, and it's like, yeah. And it's like, come on now. Like, just.
Yeah, it lacks, you know, like you said, it's kind of cowardly, but like, I do think strategically that is the move. Like, you never want to be the first person to put a name out, because then if it doesn't go your way, it gets back to you, and then the target's on you.
No, I get it. I just hate her, everything she does, I'm going to go,
I want to give her credit where it's due, because I do think, like, she makes some decent maneuvers in this episode, but the way that she does it maybe is, you know, not going to rub everyone the right way.
We also, I wrote this down here, I don't remember when this happens, but obviously there's a lot of discussion happening in this 30 minutes, and Dash, or as we'd like to call him, Sean _AFK, says, can't be voting a random bitch. And for some reason, that just made me laugh.
I don't know that 375 is pretty dumb. Dash might be the dumbest person on
the Dash
show.
Does some really dumb shit here too.
Well, it's not great.
I kind of want to distance myself a bit. I don't know if I want to refer to Dash as Sean _AFK anymore.
That's fair.
You're gonna get some hair dye.
I don't know. I gotta change my hair color. I'm not the brightest, you know, cookie in the challenge
in
or whatever.
In the playground.
In the playground,
in the playground. What is that analogy?
Yeah, like from before, episode two.
Yeah. Pat knew where I was going with that.
Cookies are bright.
But I wouldn't do that. I would. Ooh,
that's a good point, Pat. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now who looks stupid, Mike?
Not me.
That's why I'm here.
Not me. I don't look like Dash, so I'm good.
Oh, no. It's like friendly fire.
Yeah, sorry. We get another moment with Chaney where she says, karma is crazy. And I'm like, what did the doc do to deserve this? I think that's part of my problem with her, is she's acting like he's like an evil person. And it's just like he was trying too hard.
He had compassion. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, basically, she's, like, treating him like a dictator, and really, he was just kind of cringe.
Right.
Like, that's really
right. He was just being too positive.
The gap.
And she's acting like he's, like, some war criminal. We get the talking head with her that Pat described, where she talks about how beautiful she is and how smart she is. But then she
says,
I'm not some dimbo. And I gotta ask you guys, what the fuck is a dimbo?
I
think she conflated like dumb and bimbo. I think that's what happened.
Maybe it's the like second evolution of Dumbo.
He gets like a second
Dumbo,
typing.
Yeah, Dimbo. Yeah. What's the third one?
Probably 374.
Yeah, there we go.
It's just 374.
They don't tell us his name, do they?
Yeah, that's like, again, not to jump too far ahead, but like, there is no pomp and circumstance for this guy. I feel like the show was happy to
cut this guy loose.
We never learned his
here.
Name.
Well,
he's just yada yada completely.
Like, he just served them up like the perfect stupidity that is so fun to watch. Like, you could not script it better.
Oh, and then we get to like what's to me is like the main crux of the episode. And they, for some reason, during this 30 minutes, send people to cut up apples. I don't understand why. Or their apples were there and they saw them, so they said, hey, let's cut up these apples. They're not exactly clear. Leanne is one of the people to cut the apples. And they go to present the apples to everybody, like, hey, we got made you guys apple slices or cut up apple slices.
I love
that. And Lorenzo fucking hates apples or something.
Right.
He's like, I'm not trying to hear no apples. That's not a donut. I don't even want to hear. Yeah. That's not a chocolate. I don't want to hear about no apples. And it's like, what are you doing?
I think what it is actually, Mike, is that like he refuses to believe that someone could have done a good thing for another person. Like that's what's throwing him off. He's like, there's no way someone would just like cut up apples and give them out to us. Like this has to be a trick because he's the Joker. Right. He doesn't believe in like the human soul. He basically said that himself.
Yeah, it's true.
Like he did say that.
He's not tethered to such concepts. Yeah. So it's like these must be poison apples.
Exactly. I feel like he thinks that there's like cyanide in them because he's thinking that's what I was gonna do. You know,
yeah. So he's very rude about the apples, and Leanne is not happy because she's a little old fashioned, you know, and you don't, if you do something nice for somebody, like cut up some apples for him, you don't be rude to him. Okay. Cause that's going to get you voted off in the competition. Okay.
I'm glad that it happens because fuck Lorenzo, but Leanne does take it very personally to a slightly weird degree.
It's insane that she votes him off because of the apples. Like, don't get me wrong. It was the right choice.
Yeah.
If you're you watching this show, but it's Trey doesn't even vote with her.
Does he not? Trey, I don't even remember how
Trey votes for 374. It's clear. He doesn't.
He's like, Ma, that was. He's I don't like, know yo, my mom's
lost her fucking mind. I'm not voting.
Yeah,
she's
lost the plot.
And there's no penalty for him voting for 161. He's already up on the board.
Oh.
Trey votes for 374. It's insane.
I want to give her the benefit of the doubt that I do feel like. I feel like she says, you know, like he's been rude this whole time.
Yeah. To be fair,
I want to give her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt of that it's not just the apple thing, but maybe that's me interjecting my own knowledge into it.
And I'm sure he's been
having seen the talking heads.
Because later on, somebody says like he never had anything positive to say about anything. So like I think he had a reputation. And I think if you're like in a game where you're trying to figure out who to get rid of and you don't really know anyone from Adam, you go like, well, if this guy's rude to me about apples, like he's going to slit my throat in any of these games coming up. So it's like, you know, you gotta find your reason. Yeah, so I'm willing to give her some slack.
I am too, but like to me, like just from like obviously without that context, which they don't really give us in the show, we're kind of reading in between the lines a little bit here. Yeah. It's a bit insane for this thing to happen, and it's fresh on her mind. It happened probably less than 10 minutes ago. Like I get it, but it's just really funny to me. So the voting starts, and 445 decides he's gonna be up first, and Leanne right behind him. And 445 just goes 374. And 374 does the I think you should leave. What?
He's like surprised for some reason.
What do you mean?
It is Tim Robinson.
It's
You're
Tim
right.
Robinson. What?
Right.
What are you talking about? And it's like
I'm trying to do something.
Dude went around telling people he wants to leave and then is like surprise Pikachu face when he gets voted first. Yeah.
I want you guys to know I looked him up on the Squid Game website, the little page on Netflix. So his name is Andy, and do you want to guess what his job title is?
He's a
374.
He's a teacher.
He is an entrepreneur.
Oh, okay, well.
So he's unemployed.
So I think it explains a lot.
So he's unemployed is what you...
Maybe.
I have to... There's a website?
Yeah. I'll link it to you right now. It's...
Be careful on that website,
this.
Be careful.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
It's actually really neat. So anyone listening, if you just like Google like Netflix, Squid Game, The Challenge cast... The first link is going to be this page with all of, like the little squares that all the players are in, and you can actually sort it by episode. So you can like start on episode one, and it has everybody there after at least all the people after red light, green light, and then you can go further in the episodes, and it actually shrinks the cast down to you. And the bios actually change and get filled out more the further you get into the show.
That's cool.
What would we do without regular Pat, guys?
The fucking Squid Finder
really
project
neat.
Over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was
very
the
specific
number or the
Kingdom Hearts
name
joke for everybody.
Up.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I just opened up Bees, and I just want everybody to know that Bee would use her winnings to buy a farmhouse with animals.
Hell yeah, Bee.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome for B.
Oh, anyways.
So we get this talking head with Andy, and he says that he was projecting weakness. And maybe yes. That was earlier. I don't remember. But I just typed, what a fucking idiot.
It's not great.
What I love is after he gets voted up first, it cuts to somebody going like, that's so savage. And I'm like, you were going to do it too.
Yeah, you were all going to do it.
Yeah. And then we get to Leanne, and Leanne is big mad about the apples.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She votes 161, and there's a couple things that happened here that we get Lorenzo saying there's snakes everywhere in the Squid Game, which fucking made me laugh super hard because he's just insane. And then there's a woman who I don't think we get her name. She's blonde, and she says, "I'm so impressed with 301 or 3. I don't remember if she's 301 or 302. I'm so impressed with her. That took a lot of guts to do that. And I just wrote Slay Queen because I thought it was really funny, too.
Yeah, I believe that was who I have in my notes as Very British Amanda. Yes. She was like the blonde lady cutting the apples with Bea and Leanne in the kitchen.
We've seen her a few times, yeah.
Yeah, she's just kind of hanging around. I think she's like kind of like a satellite entity to the
holy shit, sorry. Now that I have access to this fucking website, Amanda, an international Taekwondo champion.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Good for her.
That'll come in handy.
Yeah, I know, man.
All right, so I wrote, we get a montage of people voting, and they show Trey not vote with his mom, which I think is just absolutely insane. And then we get Chaney 179 up there, and she votes for the doctor. And this is what really makes me cringe about her, is she looks up at the screen and goes, "Yes, I am serious. Dead serious."
Is that what she said?
And just stands there for a long ass time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's,
yeah, she's chewing the scenery.
Right? It's like, wow, you are such a badass. It just drives me nuts. Go ahead.
I was just, I'm always asking like the dumb questions when I'm watching this show. And I'm just like, what if they don't put a third person up?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, true. What happens? I wonder if they make them, like, get back in line, everybody.
Yeah.
That's
probably
what happens.
Do it again. Somebody has to vote for a third person. But I'm just always curious about those kinds of, like, what would they have done if nobody had voted for a third person?
I think we kind of saw that with the cookie game. It's like, all right, if no one agrees, then we're doing it again. Yeah. We'll just do it again until you guys get your shit together.
Or we eliminate everybody.
Nobody gets the money.
The next vote of consequence we get
is for the doctor.
Is the doctor voting Chaney back?
And he says, "Good looking guys up there. Think we need a woman."
Oh, hell yeah. I forgot he said that. Oh Lord, Doc.
That's not great. I think though the move, it's like it's really his only move. I think, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to get another candidate up there who's not one of the three already up on the board. At that point it was 374 Andy. Yeah, okay. Him, Lorenzo, and himself. So like you gotta get a fourth person up there. And I think to harken back to the email with the strategy about being in line, like he had already waited for her to vote. I don't know if it was a conscious choice, obviously, but like I think it's really smart to gauge the physics of the voting situation and realize, okay, well, she's out of contention, so now I can put her up. That's one less vote that's going to be like in retaliation. I think that's the right move from Dr.
Yeah, Lee. I agree. I don't think I think he was kind of fucked no matter what he did, but that's what he had to do there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if by some miracle he had stuck around and not voted for her after she put him up there, like, that's projecting more weakness than the guy asking to go home.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You can't just lay down and take that.
The next vote of like big consequence is Lorenzo acting like a psychopath.
Okay, hold on. He walks away before he votes, I held my breath. Because I was like, is he gonna kill Leanne? Is he gonna murder her in front of everybody? And then he says the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He fumbles.
I'm sorry. I had to see if it was 302 or 302. And Leanne goes, that's the same thing.
Like, I think he wanted his big moment, you know? And, like, he's young, actually. If you look, again, at the website, I believe he's, like, 21. So he must be, like, very nervous about getting, like, his big TV moment. So, like, he probably should have said, like, is it 320 or 302? But he just totally chokes on it. And Leanne is like, idiot, it's the same number.
I very much wish that, and obviously this is real life, so they can't do this, but give them like Nerf swords or something. I wish we could have had an episode where you know, the episode of Actual Squid Game where they have to like barricade themselves in the corners and overnight, like they're all trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
I really wish we could have had that episode. I mean, Brighton just running in with like a Nerf sword.
There's 5 episodes left.
Yeah. I don't know, Sean.
But I feel like the people that I would have wanted to have seen do that are out at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to see Brighton just like fucking like, dual wielding Nerf katanas and just like being a maniac.
Dash does his dumbest moment, which it's not dumb yet because he talks about
it's smart now.
Chaney's the leader of an alliance. I want to get her out. I think he's definitely overestimating Chaney's importance. I think if he makes a mistake here, that's what it is. But then it's what he does after the vote that makes him an idiot. We also get,
I think he makes her the ringleader of that alliance. I don't think she was. Until he went after her and was like, oh, she's because the who's in that? Is TJ in that?
I have
as
the
well?
List.
It's TJ.
It's Darius, TJ, and Jesse.
Because I think before this, after TJ's performance in Warships, if Dash hadn't done this, I think TJ would have become like the leader. Like, I feel like they would have kind of looked at him and stuff. But I don't know. I just Dash going around and telling everybody. Hey,
yeah, later
guys,
on, yeah.
You know, Chaney's the leader of that alliance. I feel like he spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have been the leader if he hadn't done that.
Well, but I do think also TJ's infinitely more likable than Chaney is.
Yeah.
So to me, I get it. But like, it's what he does later that makes it bad. We get a soundbite from Lorenzo where he says his loyalty is with the piggy. And I like that.
I love that. Yeah, I wrote that. It's very good. Great villain.
Yeah, he's this show, and Sean and I were talking about this. We were worried with Brighton gone what the show was going to be. It's kind of becoming like a Monster of the Week show. Monster of the Week.
Because
we got Brighton, now we got Lorenzo, who's going to be episode 5.
I love that.
You know, it's kind of becoming that. So the vote,
and
go ahead.
So I just want to say, I think the key with a good villain on a show like this too is the admittance and like owning it. Like, if you're going to go in the talking head and be like, yeah, like people are shit to me, like they're the scum beneath my feet, I'm going to treat them as such, like then it's good. But if you have somebody who like tries to moralize and like won't like cop up to what they're doing in the game in their confessionals, then like it comes off as hypocritical, it comes off as unlikable, but like you can kind of like maybe not root for Lorenzo, but like, you know, it's more entertaining to see somebody kind of relish in the chance to be so villainous.
He is who he is, right?
So much consequence.
He's playing a game. This is just him. And so it's a little easier to root for someone like that than someone that's playing a game and admitting to it, right? But he's just, he's not doing anything. Like, I think if you put him, if there's Squid Game, the reunion in like 5 seasons, you put him in, he's acting the exact same way. Nothing's changing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we get to like the end of the voting, Mike and I both had the same thought, and I want to know, Pat, if you also had the same thought, which is when that last guy went up. If I was the last guy, 10 times out of 10, I would have put my own number up.
Yeah, just as like a taunt, like a style move.
I don't even know if it's a taunt or a style move. I think it's funny, and I think that it's disarming for everybody else. I think they'll find it funny,
I didn't think
too.
Of that for a second, Sean, but that's so fucking genius,
especially if it's the way it is where it's clear what 3 people are going to go out, right? There's 5 people on the board. Yeah. You know one of them.
There's no way one vote is going to
get you're not
going to
put yourself in a 3-way tie with one vote or something. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, that would have been funny. I don't know that the person, I don't even remember who was last in line, but they were definitely not the person to do that.
Yeah, they really missed out on it because I think that would have been a golden move. Yeah. I think that, first of all, it would have been funny as fuck. And second of all, I really think that the other players would have enjoyed it. I think I think you'd win some points with other people by doing that.
Hey, yo, bro, that was funny.
Or they call
you
a coward.
Yourself, you know?
Or they might call you a coward. They might
boo you and be like, you failed to make a decision. Oh. Like, inaction is a choice.
That's true.
And they'd be mad.
That's true.
Maybe. And then you're like, no, it was
insane.
A bit. It was a bit. And then you get voted out on the next one. And you're like, but it was a bit.
Yeah. Squid Game's like, you can't vote for yourself. We will now re-vote. And then everybody votes for you.
Yeah.
It could backfire for sure.
All for the bit, dude. All for the bit.
So, speaking of bits, 374, gone. Eliminated.
Totally
like I said, they just like he's out like trash. Yeah. Like they just boot him to the curb. It's like nothing. He doesn't even get Like, I don't even think they have, like, a proper talking head with him during the process.
No.
Like, they just get rid of him. Because
we would know his name then. Because anytime they do a talking head where they show the person, they show their name. But no. We hear, like, maybe a sound bite of him talking over everything.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
It's not, they don't show him. The doc is next. And Chaney says another insane thing where she goes, nothing personal. It was a group decision. But it's clear she means the opposite. It's clear she wants him to know that she did this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little
like,
bit.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I just don't like her.
She's twisting the knife a bit.
She is. She is. And then I wrote 161 gone. The Joker is dead.
That's what I said. I swear to God, I said the Joker has been defeated.
Damn.
Leanne is Batman.
Oh.
And
wait, can I say, okay, and I don't know if this is an intentional thing, but I think it's so poetic that we get clips of Lorenzo in like episode one or two where he's like stealing food. Like he's like the glutton of the dorm. And basically in a roundabout way, because he refused to take food, that's inadvertently why he goes home.
Oh man.
Because he refuses the food.
It's like poetry.
So it's like
he
should have continued being gluttonous.
Wow. Man. Wow.
It's so crazy.
This is why you bring regular Pat on your podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I gotta say, dude, everybody is gonna be listening to this episode. They're gonna be like, where's the regular Pat Squid Game podcast? Everybody's gonna be jumping ship.
No way.
Pat's got
the
top tier Squid Game the Challenge analysis.
I don't know, guys. I'm just the extra tentacle. Let's not get too crazy.
The extra short tentacle.
Wait, short.
He's short. It's like Nemo's fin.
Oh,
we talked about this.
Okay.
70 players left. And no one claps this time.
Yeah.
It's the first time people don't clap when they show the eliminations and put the money in the piggy bank.
People clapped after the two people or the 200 got sniped by Danny and Kyle? People clapped?
No, they didn't. They were like, how could you do that? Boo. They booed that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think what it is anytime they have any agency in why people go, that's when it's solemn. But when it's like through a game where everybody had the chance and people are, they feel like it's socially acceptable to clap.
I guess my point was there was no reaction. There was silence.
Yeah.
Booing to me in that scenario is like, there were people like riled up, like boo, you know, like it was like still a fun game. This was not fun for people.
I'm sorry, but before we move on to what happens after, I do want to just say an ode, like a goodbye to the Joker, Lorenzo, by looking at his player bio, where age 26.
Oh, he's 26. Okay.
26. Way too old to be acting the way that he is. Occupation, asset manager. Mm. And the bio reads, Lorenzo is a self-described master manipulator who also does a great chicken impression.
What? Didn't we see that on the show?
He loves to design clothes and play basketball, and he's also a music fanatic.
Whoa.
Okay, so
he's been
has to be asked now that we have this.
Yeah.
He knitted that outfit himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
You're right.
And the last sentence is, he's been manifesting playing in the last game and knows he'll be a multimillionaire soon. No strategy required.
This motherfucker was button mashing. Oh, no. He went in with no strats.
Oh, no.
Just pure intuition.
No.
Somebody sent him like, hey, maybe you should watch some speed runs first before you try to run it or like read a guide. Yeah. He's like, no, I think I'll just do it.
He's literally regular Pat running KH1.
That's true.
That's literally what he was. And then he tried to run it the second time and was way worse for some reason.
Yep, I don't know why.
We'll see that in Squid Game the Reunion.
It's so funny because he says he plays basketball and Leanne gets this talking head where she talks about how she was like this basketball prodigy and they just didn't get along. They could have been shooting hoops.
They're the
together.
Angel coin and the devil coin, you know? They're two sides
they're
of the same
similar.
Coin. Yeah. Yin and yang.
Damn.
So I just put old person conversation here, and I think it's Leanne's talking head.
She says that she's an editor at the New York Times.
Yeah. Anytime
her she covers sports
or Rick get a talking head, I'm just so zoned out. Because it's like talking
really,
to your...
I'm glued to the screen.
Yeah, me too.
It's like talking to your grandparents. It's just like, I'm not... I mean, Ricks are funny because he's so like...
Crazy,
but like it's like I know, and I started to say this, and I realized I was spoiling this talking head with Rick about his tattoos. But it's like, you know, you start talking to someone who's a little older, and at first you're like, okay, this is a fine conversation. And then, like, at a certain point, it is just this, the old person could be talking to a wall. They could be talking, you know, they could be talking, and you're just sitting there like, okay, how do I get out of this conversation without being rude? Because they're nice people, but it's like, man, and that's how I feel listening to them. I will say, Rick says Ganbu different every time he says it.
Yeah, absolutely. I also got to say, I don't know if you guys noticed it. It's somewhere around here in the dorms. Rick is having a conversation with somebody and the conversation ends and then it just cuts to his face and he is just fucking staring at the person he was talking to. Like, his eyes are so wide. He's like, I was like,
okay, you're going to love this. Go back to episode one. After Leanne crosses and red light, green light, there was like a guy staring at her wildly. And I was like, what the hell was that? And I realized that was Rick. Like, you didn't know him yet at that point. But then when I saw him later on, I was like, that was the bug eyed guy from red light, green light. So you'll have to go back.
Oh my God.
I'm not spoiling anything, but I have a pretty crazy theory on Rick, and Pat is just leaning into it super hard with this that he was staring.
I do have my own theory about Rick as well.
Oh my God. I bet it's the same theory.
We'll get to it. Once we get to the Steven stuff with the Dachi, we'll get into it, I think. Yeah. But let's save that.
So then during this moment, in between the two old people talking heads, Dash talks to Chaney and
Sean.
Yeah. No, wait, no, never. No, no. No.
I gotta say, in my notes, anytime it's Dash, it says Sean.
Oh, no.
It says Sean is wheeling and
Sean,
dealing with Chaney's alliance.
Yeah, but I didn't realize he was gonna be a moron. So. Also, I gotta say, Pat, we're back to episode one. Rick doesn't know where he is at the end.
Sean, can you screen cap it and put it in this?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to put it on screen for everybody.
He does not. I legitimately don't think that he knows where he is right now.
He's having fun. It's eve of his 69th birthday.
No, he's not having fun. I think he's having flashbacks.
Yeah, he might be.
Oh. To the bees.
Oh,
he's thinking about the bees.
I wonder what my bees think about me.
Can I get this face? Is my thing isn't wanting to... It's... Let me see. Maybe I can just screenshot the whole screen.
There you go. There you go.
That way. Oh. I was trying to use Gyalzo, but Netflix wasn't liking it.
So
nope, it's still showing it as a black screen. I'll find a way to
get it. I'll grab it for you.
If
I know
you can
how
grab
it,
thanks.
Yeah.
But
meanwhile, while Sean is having technical difficulties, Dash is committing suicide.
He's having social difficulties.
Because
he
goes in the locker room and goes to player 54, which I don't think we get her name.
Lucia, according to the website.
And he just goes, hey, I voted for Chaney. There is no benefit to you telling people this.
No benefit
There's
at
zero
all.
Benefit.
Not only did he say that, he said, I voted for Chaney, but I'm lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, like openly admitting to the deception. What is there to gain? Why is he throwing his game away? Fitting that he's in the bathroom for this, because he's flushing his fucking game down the toilet.
Yeah.
Zero reason to do this. And 54,
and 54 basically says to his face, like, that was dumb.
Yeah, she goes,
like,
yeah,
you gotta
be careful.
Fucking careful.
Yeah. Because
don't say that.
She knows she's gonna go right to 176 Darius and tell him.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we get a little bit of a breakdancing from 210 in between.
That was pretty crazy.
It was so
pretty
sick.
Wild.
Yeah. It was so sick.
That was pretty sick.
I'm voting him out next based on his breakdancing ability.
I guess
I don't know if you spotted this, Mike. Leanne's doing some standing push-ups on the bed.
Yeah, I did, but
she's become what she swore to destroy, which was a bro.
I didn't want to call her out because they're pretty poor push-ups. They're pretty terrible.
They're not great. Bad form, Leanne.
Oh my God. Wait, I have a theory now about Leanne based off what Pat just said. I think Leanne voting out Lorenzo is like if Batman ever killed the Joker.
Yeah.
It's why he does it. But it's why he doesn't, right? Because then he's like, if I kill you, I won't stop.
Yeah.
That's it. Now Leanne's doing push-ups like a bro.
Right.
Like standing push-ups like,
oh, boy.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Leanne might be the endgame villain. It's like, oh, my
That'd
God.
Be great.
It's like the actual show.
Yeah, please let her be the final boss.
She might
be. It's like the actual show, you know? Like, oh, my God.
So 54 tells Darius, and he's like, oh, my God. And then we get this weird kind of, like, conversation with 2-9, who becomes more important next episode, about how she hates men, basically.
Yeah, the male-dominated alliances, she says.
We didn't come here for this, she says. And it's a little...
she also says, Rick is the leader. And I was like, is he?
Yeah.
I think he's like the figurehead. He's like the like Queen Elizabeth, you know, like he's not like directing any of the strategy. Oh, no. He's just like the poster guy. I feel like the leader is probably somebody who knows where they are.
It's what's his face who did the warships, the bald guy.
Yeah, yeah, Dan. Right?
Yeah. He's the real leader.
Yeah, Dan's like the lieutenant at least. Yeah.
And then Rick and Steven, or Rick gets called to the chore room and bring one person with you, and he picks Steven.
God.
And we get a talking head from Steven where he talks about how he's been homeless and that his parents are terrible parents. And I'm still just amazed at the kind of things these people reveal in these talking heads before the show has even started.
And he, like, he doesn't. Well, this is this the before the show has started, or is it?
It's the before the show has started because they're wearing regular clothes and they're in like that interview room.
Oh, and but doesn't he mention Rick?
No,
in the talking head, I don't think he does.
He mentions Rick in a talking head later, but he's in the boiler room, which is post show.
Okay, yeah. Well, because I was gonna say it feels like he gets really close to saying like Rick is my father.
Yeah, I mean that's what that happens later a little bit.
A little bit.
But then they're in the chore room, and it's the jockey. Jockey. I don't remember how he says it.
Yeah, I don't.
I have it as Dachi. That's what it is. I'm probably not nailing the pronunciation, but
And it's very clear at this moment, Steven didn't watch Squid Game.
No.
Yeah, I was like, what? How do you not know? Like, this is like episode 1, is it not?
Steven did not watch Squid Game.
Kind of iconic imagery of it as well, you know?
He knew nothing about Squid Game. And Rick's like, oh, you could tell Rick is a super fan, dude. Rick,
because
he's so fucking good.
He's dominant, is what I wrote. He's dominant.
He's goated at it.
He literally every time flips it.
This is where the conspiracy comes in for me.
Oh,
can we get into it now?
Go for it.
I don't know if this is nuts.
Yeah.
We can. Okay.
I mean, like, remember, Sean hasn't seen episode 5.
Right. And that's all good. I don't think I'm just trying to figure out like. Does Squid Game the challenge end in a typical way? Like, does it end like a Survivor where like the premise is seen all the way through and we get like one winner who like gets it through traditional means? Or is Rick a plant to some degree is what I'm trying to say.
So this is my theory as well.
He's so good.
This is my theory as well. And it's more supported by things that happen next episode as well. So I wasn't going to get into it, but Pat's right. He's so good at it.
Now, when you say he's a plant, do you mean he's a plant because they don't want somebody else to win, or he's a plant because they're trying to emulate that plot
They're trying to emulate
from...
that plot point. I
think, yeah.
The only issue... See, I can't talk about this. So, here's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think he's a plant.
I know what you're talking about, Mike.
I think he's a plant. I think he's going to show up at the end of the game.
Okay.
That's what I'm wondering. Why is it that he like gets to skate through this whole Dachi situation with the candy bar? Well, also, how did he know it was a candy bar?
It's fucking hilarious because they think Steven's gonna get eliminated because he just got fucking mollywopped at fucking not even stand a chance. And then he hands him the candy bar, and Steven's like, "What's that?" And like Rick doesn't make eye contact with him, and out of the side of his mouth, it's a candy bar, like that.
Yeah, I said Rick with his fucking side mouth, it's a candy bar.
It's a candy bar.
It's a candy bar.
Stop talking. Well, the guards here, he's gonna kill us. It's a candy bar.
Yeah, I think he knows. Like that's I felt like that was a very emotional moment. Like I was almost like, oh man, this is really sad if Steven like. It's both very sad and also would have been the best way for Steven to have gotten out.
Yeah.
Like, it would just...
It would have been great.
It would have been devastating, but
they
didn't do it.
They didn't.
So they leave.
Which, like, it's just... I can't believe he's like... There's a part where they're there and they're bonding and, like, they lose and stuff. And it's before they leave, he goes, like, all right, old man. And he's like, oh, da-da-da. He says, okay, Gramps, and he says, call me old man or something. And he goes, I call my dad old man, but I like
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, I can't bring another kid home.
My wife would kill me.
Heartbreaking. I feel like that's Rick saying, hey, man, we gotta see other people.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
I really thought, like, jokes aside, I thought the whole segment was so beautiful. Like, I legitimately think it was, like, such a nice reality TV moment for what it's worth. It was, like, such a wholesome bonding experience for them. And to see that it didn't result in, like, some, you know, trickery or anything, or one of them has to go, like, it was just really sweet.
I, I also think one thing that leans into the Rick is in on it theory is, okay, Pat, say you and I walk into this room, we're in the game, and we see that sitting there. My immediate thought is, oh, fuck, they're going to make us play this, and whoever loses is getting eliminated, right?
Yeah.
But Steven's kind of a dumbass, and it's clear he would try to run through a brick wall for Rick. So Rick goes, hey, let's just play, man, and he does not question it, right?
And maybe Rick is also thinking, like, I know this isn't one of the eliminations.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, he's in on it. So he just gets Steven to play with him regardless.
I'm saying all that, but now I'm thinking, like, if he was, like, I feel like he would have gotten a bit more focus in the first episode if he's, like, really, like, more, like, playing a character role. And then you get into, like, the ethics of, like, you know, a reality show competition, like, how much that's even legally allowed. Like, I know you guys kind of talked about how some of the red light, green light, red shirts were, like, you know, actors, which I feel like that's different. I feel like just from a logistics standpoint, like, you want to make it look like it's as big as the drama, but you can't, like, realistically deal with 500 people, so you have to, like, cut them down. But I feel like having one guy in there who's, like, immune, basically, like, I feel
know,
like
how
that,
is that any
that
different
things
from, like, the mole, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess with the mole, though, it's, like, that's baked into the premise, is that they know that there's somebody in there. I guess if you watch the drama, you know that, like, a guy is in on it. And is it the old guy again who kind of even bears a resemblance to the guy from the show?
Do you guys remember what the number was of the old man in the game?
I do not.
Shut
is it the same? Did we miss that?
It's not, like, the same, but it's 69. Yeah. You know how old Rick just turned?
No way.
Sorry, I'm a Kingdom Hearts guy, okay? But,
they did make a whole segment out of his birthday. Like, if it was just, like, on the bio, like, we knew that he was 69 from the bio, that'd be different. But, like, they had, like, a segment about it.
Yeah, they talk about, oh, I'm turning 69.
It's, like, the only person whose age is, like, referenced on the show.
I gotta say, Mike, Pat, I was with you guys. Now you're starting to sound a little bit too much like Cage theorist. Now it's a little
crafting.
Now I'm a little bit like,
nah, Sean, it all makes sense. You'll see.
Here's what I'll say. I want this to be true so badly because I think it would be genius and so like if you're going to do this show, do that.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to do Squid Game, do Squid Game. I'm going to say, I think it's too smart of an idea.
Okay. I think, like, the cooler it sounds, the less likely it is. I'm at, like, 80-20 odds, 80 in favor if he's just a guy.
I will continue to be the Cope guy on this, only because, to me, they're releasing the last episode separately.
Well, don't they do that for all their reality TV shows just because, like, don't want to spoil who the winner is?
I don't watch a lot of reality TV, Sean, if I'm being honest with you.
I think I've seen them do this with reality TV shows, and I've seen it because I've been like, why the fuck don't you guys do that with other stuff? I don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah.
So I think this is a normal practice for their reality shows.
Okay. Either way, I'm still coping. Let's get back on track.
I want you to be the cope.
Yeah, I will be the cope here. they leave the area and they're coming back in and they're like, oh shit, we got to tell people what happened, and they want to hide it for some reason. And in my head, it just reminded me of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
The golden
ticket. Charlie and Grandpa drink the fizzy lifting drink, and then they have to join the group again. For some reason, I just made that connection.
Okay.
And because
Mike, I thought you were going towards the line of, like, they have a candy bar. Maybe there's, like, a golden ticket
there
in
is.
The candy bar.
I mean,
bar.
The way the candy bar... See, the candy bar doesn't get,
like,
resolved this episode. So
I feel like
it doesn't.
It's Chekhov's gun a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going
on
with,
like,
the candy
bar. Yeah, like, you don't see anyone eat the candy bar. Yeah.
I will say, you say, like, they are, like, what were we doing? Steve is not thinking about it for a second.
No.
It's Rick. Rick is the one that's like, wait, what were we doing in there? And Steven's like, oh, right.
We were doing dishes.
We were doing dishes, yeah.
We have another segment with 229, and I didn't write down the number of the other woman, but she does become more important next episode. And they talked about how they miss their kids.
I feel like this was a really good scene.
It was.
That's a good scene.
In terms of, like, and I think the part that, because, like, I think that it, for the most part, kind of comes across as, like, standard, like, reality TV, like, oh, let's get people to like them or whatever. But I think the part that, like, made it feel very real to me was the idea of them saying like they feel guilty
yeah
for going mm-hmm. to do this, even though like they're trying to make their kids' lives better, they still feel like guilty for
right
for doing that. And I thought that right. was a very real and very human emotion that I thought didn't feel fake. Yeah. It, you know, it didn't feel scripted or yeah. anything.
Well, and you can tell they're like good friends in there already, even though they've only mm-hmm. been there a short mm-hmm. amount of time. We also get 229's Talking Head, where she talks about how her and her wife were having trouble having kids, and but then mm-hmm. they you know they were almost gonna get divorced, and then they finally had a kid, and it's been great, and so we're learning more about her because spoilers, she's very important to next episode.
Okay. I was gonna say I having only seen this episode, to me I don't think I can get on board the 229 hate train quite yet.
Oh,
just because I felt like, train. Like, isn't she the one that says the kind of cringe thing earlier on?
Oh, about the men?
She says the thing about the men. And, like, I'll even give her, like, some room on that because I do think, like, in reality TV history, like, especially looking at Survivor, Big Brother, like, there is a kind of, you know, sordid past of, you know, men kind of, I don't think necessarily like targeting the women, but like these competitions and like these situations, like they tend to favor the men inadvertently in some cases. And so I think like, you know, there should be probably some attempt to break that up early so you're not stuck in the end game with a bunch of like muscle heads.
Yeah, I dislike 229 the way I dislike 179.
Okay.
To be clear.
Okay. I just feels like that scene earlier when she's talking about that, it kind of feels like it kind of feels out of nowhere a little bit because I think that's the first scene we get with 229.
Yeah, I don't think she does a whole lot
well.
Before this. Yeah.
So like the fact that it's like the first thing we get from her is that whole scene talking about the guys feels a little weird. But by the end of the episode, I feel like I'd really come around on her a lot more based on like what they say at the end about like her and her wife and her having that conversation in the showers and stuff. So I don't know. I guess I got the vibe, Mike, that you really didn't like her, and I'm not sure that I'm there.
No, I don't. No, that's not how I feel.
Okay.
It just 179 is the only player that's really.
It's just
my gears.
Well, I mean,
right
179 is.
And she's the new villain.
Yeah.
She's got
the new
replace
villain.
Right. Joker Lorenzo.
So then we get the hook of the last part of the episode where it's the second social game they're playing. They need 5 volunteers, and the volunteers we get are 183 Jesse, 375 Joel, and then 229. Her name escapes me. It's like it starts with a P.
Felicia.
Yes. That's correct. And then 130, who I don't think we ever get a name, and 87, who I think we get a name next episode. And those are the 5 volunteers. And then
Kyle is his name.
Kyle. Yeah. And then they bring out a table with 6 boxes and they say, hey, all the 5 volunteers stand in front of 1 box. And the boxes will either eliminate you, allow you to eliminate other players, or give you an advantage in the next game. And then that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, Sean, this is some of the most intense shit in the show so far.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I felt like this was the weakest cliffhanger yet for me. Mostly because
I agree it's a weak cliffhanger, like, but knowing what's to come, I think it's some
works.
Of the most intense shit that happens.
And I think it's mostly because like let's be real, they throw up 5 people that you don't really care too much about. Like they work to make you care about 229 a little bit throughout this episode, but the rest of them, I think I've only like seen them in passing.
Yeah.
So in terms of like, oh no, what's gonna happen with this like with this cliffhanger, it feels definitely like the weakest to me.
I'll tell you, it's not about the people with the boxes. It's about what they do with them.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think Pat will agree with that. That it gets it gets pretty wild.
Yep.
You
familiar with the works of George R. R. Martin?
Sean? Oh. Okay. Oh my God. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What could that possibly mean? Okay. I will say like before we because we kind of have ended here. But I did have a few notes that we didn't touch on that I want to...
Yeah. Hit us up.
I really want to, like... We talked about it as we were going through. I want to really nail... Dash is going to get his legs broken. Like, the way that... We didn't really talk about the scene where... Is it Darius? Is he the one who
Darius.
Tells?
Yeah, he's the one that rats him out. Yeah.
When Darius tells, like, 179, I worried for Dash's safety in this.
Yeah.
In this
that's right. We didn't talk about that scene. You're right.
She looked ready to kill.
Yeah.
So I think Dash is in real physical harm or physical danger. It's the he doesn't know it, but he's that Simpsons gif with Milhouse.
Danger.
And also, like, we kind of skirted by Rick's tattoo. But Rick says he has a tattoo all the way up his leg. That's like a tree or it's like a flower or something. And it has all 18 grandchildren tattooed on it as like little branches going off of it. And I was like, who are you?
Well, Sean, you try remembering the names of 18 grandchildren. They're always with him.
I'm now imagining before Thanksgiving every year. Let me roll up my leg. Let me just roll up my pants and let me just
There's you, Timmy.
Yeah, I also it's been mentioned in the past that he's a beekeeper, and I haven't mentioned this yet on the podcast, but I don't know if anybody else has had this thought, but whenever they talk about him being a beekeeper, all I can think of is the Rick and Morty joke about your dad's beekeeping age. Like, have you guys seen that clip? You know what I'm talking
age.
About?
Yeah, I've never seen
a Rick or Morty in my life, Sean.
I've not seen the episode it's from, but I've seen the clip all over, and it's pretty funny. Your dad is like beekeeping age. Just I'll have to send it.
Maybe
to you,
Rick
Mike.
Will align with bee. Seems like a natural sort of.
yeah. Rick and bee.
There's a kinship there.
He'll finally find out what the bee says about him.
Yeah.
God, he did say that at one point. He did.
He said,
God,
"I wonder what the
crazy.
Bees think about me."
All
and
these
just
people
stared
are
at the camera.
It's like fucking do androids dream of electric sheep? It's like this fucking like metaphorical
do the bees
like
care about me?
like philosophical question.
I really can't wait, and we'll get it to Mike so that it can be on the episode on the visual. I really can't wait to get the image of him at the end of Red Light Green Light to you, Mike, because
I really hope it's him because I'm pretty sure
I want you guys to know
him. I've seen it. It's him.
The thumbnail for this episode is going to be that picture, but with Pat's face over Rick.
Here's the thing. I think if you get rid of his face, it almost ruins.
Okay,
him.
I'll put
because,
Pat on
Leanne.
Yeah,
you gotta keep
then.
It.
Yeah, because
yeah, I'll be Leanne.
Straight up. If I saw him, like, if I was there and I saw him, how he looks in that image, I'd be concerned. I'd be like, he looks like he's having PTSD flashbacks. He does not look okay. Like, it is an insane look. I can't wait for you to see it.
I can't wait. Sean, did you have any other notes?
No, I think that's about
Pat,
it.
Did you have any
I
results?
Do have.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the Gonbu gang has got to be in contention for like least intimidating, perhaps most ineffective alliance. I calculated, so using the website, I paused because we kind of brushed over the scene where they're talking in the bathroom. It's like some strategy talk in the
right,
bathroom. And they're also like all surprised that like people might be like coming after them. Even though like they're talking about like
they won't shut up about the damn Gonbu game.
But I got all their numbers and I went to the website. The average age of this alliance is 43. you got a 28-year-old is the youngest person, and then it's all people. You got 2 30s, but then 47, 51, 52, 69, like. I'm not afraid of these guys in the Squid Game.
No.
And maybe that's ageist of me, but like I feel like if we do end up getting tug of war at some point or like some other physical, like these guys are lambs for the slaughter. So I almost feel kind of sad watching them.
Yeah, it is. They're a bit sad. And what's funny to me is like when Steven joined up with them, he had lost his buddy Chase in the first game. And then he made the mullet alliance with Kyle.
Yeah.
And Kyle gets eliminated in the cookies. And then he's like, "Yeah, I need an alliance." And he like kind of just turns around and sees the first people that he could see, and it's all these old dudes. And he's kind of like, "Yeah, you know, these guys are a little old, but they seem like nice guys, you know. We'll be an alliance." And then Rick's like, "Rick, clearly the biggest Squid Game fan in the whole show, is like, "We're the Gonbu gang." And it's just like at first, it's like they knew they weren't a good alliance, but then, like, as the show's gone on, they've been like, "Yeah, we're the best alliance here." It's like, what are you talking about, guys? You're gonna be more likely to break a hip. than do anything. And so I agree with you, Pat. That I'm glad you said that, because maybe the least intimidating alliance of all time.
Yeah. I also said that I feel like right around now, it was maybe around that scene or like later on when the breakdancing was happening, like the dorm is starting to feel like prison. Like there's just, which I guess it is like in the real show, it is kind of already that. But like, it's just like I started to feel like I was watching like a prison show, because you have like all of these cliques like on the bleachers, and like they're like doing like kickball in the center. There's a guy just fucking spinning on his head. They're just like bored and like
balls
fucking
out of shirts. And they're like, yeah. It's very prison-like.
Fucking, they're cutting apples for like 2 cents an hour.
Yeah,
you know, it's just, it's so depressing.
It's true. It, you know, maybe the people on Twitter are right about it being like exploitation of these people.
Okay,
I mean, it's always been that. Go back to the real world, you know, like that's reality TV in a nutshell.
I do have to say, like, yes, is it exploitative? Yes, yeah, absolutely, all that stuff. The tweet I saw that I was like, okay, you clearly haven't watched this show, is people were getting mad about, so they were getting mad about the, I can't even think of his name.
Spencer?
The Mormon guy, Spencer. They were getting mad about Spencer, but they were referencing in their text Brighton. They were like, somebody dropped out of college for this show, yada, yada. And you guys are like, you know, eating this up or whatever. I'm like, okay, to be fair, Brighton's an asshole. Like,
also,
I feel no sympathy for
Brighton.
And
I miss him so much, by the way. I miss him.
Here's the thing. Brighton dropping out, like he says this, we're taking him at face value. He played for a Division I college football. You don't just drop out if you're any good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you just, that's, I thought you were going to say like he'll pick up a semester at some point, but yeah, it may just be he's not like sorely
needed.
There's
more to that story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't getting playing time or you know what I mean? And
this is just not a new concept either. Like if you're going to go on any of these shows, you're going to be away from your job or your school. Like you're going to have to take an L. You're probably going to have to use a lot of leave or potentially quit.
Right.
Like this is not the first time someone has, you know, abandoned a potentially lucrative or more stable path to chase reality TV fandom or money.
Which is the whole reason I didn't sign up in the first place.
Right. Because it's tough.
I couldn't leave my job for this extended period of time and still have it. So
yeah.
It would have been crazy if he had been there, though.
Sean thinks I would have been eliminated immediately.
When have I said that?
Yeah, the first show, you said, I'm so glad you didn't do this because I think you would have been eliminated immediately. You said they would eat me alive.
Did I say that?
Yes.
I got nothing to do with this.
You did
I say that?
As someone who listened to the episode more recently than you guys recorded it, I'm not getting into this.
I don't. If I did, I stand by it. If I didn't, then you're crazy.
No, you said it. I wasn't offended by it. It more or less was you.
He did
reading,
say it.
Okay.
Reading like, I Mike, you're it. A nice guy. It was more like that. It wasn't like, oh, you
it
suck.
It wasn't that you're incapable.
Yeah.
Oh, was it because of like the stuff at the end of the episode, not red light, green light?
I would have died in red light, green light. I would have ended up squatting.
I would.
I get stuck in a squat.
What?
Why did I squat?
You know, like the lady that. She ended up in the squat. I would have ended up being in some dumbass position, and I'm waiting for them to get the fucking drone shot of me for 20 minutes.
I'm the guy that would have leapt forward as the light turned red.
He did jump. That guy did dolphin dive.
You guys, what happened?
I think you cut out for a second.
Oh, Pat?
Can you hear us, Pat? Oh, no.
Oh, no, Pat.
Somebody cut off the short part of the squid, the short tentacle.
Patrick.
Oh, they got the short tentacle.
It's Lorenzo. He got Pat.
Oh, no.
Lorenzo. I thought I heard a... Open up, Pat. He's wearing
Lorenzo
the,
found out what's under the hat,
yeah, he's
dude.
Wearing the crocheted uniform right now. Yep, there.
Oh, Pat?
Sorry, I dropped out there.
Pat, we thought Lorenzo
gonna be an
got
editing
you.
Pain.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I was in the middle of saying, so I apologize if that screws up
no,
any
it's
editing.
Okay.
But
not a big deal.
I think I just like dropped for some reason.
We thought Lorenzo showed up at your door with the crocheted outfit on and was because he heard what you said. So,
yeah. I thought he might have killed you.
I got to be careful. I'll put some apple slices on my door. It'll repel him.
Oh, yeah. Don't leave any like tin food out there because it'll take seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
See, that's the part that I don't understand. He won't take a freshly cut apple, but he'll eat two of those fucking...
He'll eat cat food out of a tin. It was like
fried rice or something.
Like,
it was, yeah, it was not good.
And we both said, like, hey, that doesn't look too bad.
Right.
But, like, the apple looked better than the tin, to be honest
with you. Fresh fruit,
yeah. They're green apples, too? Mm.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I love a green apple.
Granny Smith, cut up by Granny Leanne. Anyway... That's probably where we should end this.
Yeah. I think we're starting to
Pat, thank you so much for joining us and being an honorary squid boy. Why don't you
the first honorary squid boy.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you if they want, if they were like, you know what, this guy was pretty funny, I'd like to check out his stuff. Where can they find you?
Yeah, I am on Twitter at the subpar Patsby, like the Great Gatsby, but subpar and Pat. Regular Pat on YouTube and pretty much everything else. If you like Kingdom Hearts content, that's my jam.
That's his jam. Sean, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. You can also find me doing a podcast with Mike here that we do when we're not watching Squid Game, where we're watching BoJack Horseman.
True. It's true. We are.
Called What Is This? A Crossover Episode. It's on the same YouTube channel and stuff as this. But yeah, I've never seen BoJack Horseman and Mike loves it. And we're on episodes of season two. Yep. Yeah. Season two are coming out and, it's pretty good. You guys should go listen to it.
Sean, what would you, if Kingdom Hearts is regular Pat's jam, what would you say is your jam?
Oh, the Cosmere, the Stormlight
the
Archive
Cosmere.
Books. I'm a nerd. I read books. Yeah, I'd say I'm the Cosmere guy.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Spaghetti Bros. And obviously, you're either listening to this on Spotify or on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, you're in the right spot. And I would say my jam is grape.
Oh,
nice.
Really? Yeah. Love.
I'm grape over strawberry
grape
and PB&J
so
for sure.
So grape is the best jam.
So is that the answer you were looking for me? That I blow it a little bit?
No. You answered it properly. I just you know, rule of threes. I gotta throw it away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was playing.
Exactly.
He was building.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's called comedy, Sean. Clearly not your jam.
I don't know anything about it.
Anyway,
no, I mean,
Sean, yeah. Pat, the way that this works is we all have to agree to end the episode.
We have to agree.
The game is to agree. The pod is to agree. I agree to end this episode.
Dude, I agree to end this episode. I don't know if Pat's gonna agree. Pat was saying before, like, the episodes weren't long enough for him.
That's true.
Pat might hold us hostage here. He might not agree.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll stand around for another 3 minutes until our ink packs go off.
I guess this is your chance to filibuster if you want.
Pat, I don't want this to sound sexual, but spit on my cookie and end the episode.
All right, I'll gladly spit on both of your cookies. And I'm willing to make that the last thing I say canonically on the episode.
Thank you, Pat. thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.